Okay, so we want to talk about Inyani Tshuva. The Tshuva that we'll talk about tonight is a very specific type of situation where a person did an Isser Derabanan. But they did the Isser Derabanan by mistake. Now this happens quite often. The most common I could think of is that you were walking somewhere on Shabbos and you walked into the bathroom, you flicked on the light, and uh-oh, it's Shabbos. So, assuming that it's not misasik, but let's say that's an Issa Drabbanan, because the light bulbs that we use today are probably Drabbanan light bulbs, or if you turn off a light, then even if any light bulb is going to be an Issa Drabbanan, turning it off, because Rakhshin is Yichle Gufa, or you basically touched anything by, you moved Muktzah by mistake, you didn't realize it was Muktzah, and then you realize, Ayvei, I did an Aveira, I want to do tshuva. So do you have to do tshuva at all? Is it considered that you did something wrong if it's only Drabbanan and you did it by mistake? So let me explain to you what the question is. There's a story that is described in source number one. You're welcome to look at it inside. I'm not going to read inside for those who are tired, but you can read it with your own eyes if you feel up to it. The story goes like this. I sell you... You come to my butcher store, and I sell you a pound of kosher meat for $10 a pound. You give me $10, I give you the kosher meat, you go home, you eat your pound of meat. I call you the next day, apologizing terribly that there was a mix-up in the shipment, and it was really, you know, supposed to go to, you know, Christopher's butcher shop, it came to Yankel's butcher shop. It was a big mistake, it was an avela. So I feel bad, I want to give you back your money. But you did eat it, didn't you? So how much do I have to give you back? Let's assume that in treif meat is, let's say, $4 a pound, and kosher meat is $10 a pound. So how much do I have to give you back? I should have to give you $6 back because I only gave you a product worth $4. It was worth $4. You paid $10. That was a total mistake. You assumed it was kosher food. It wasn't kosher food. So I should have to return $6 to you to make up the difference, right? Okay, good point. That's true. Next case. Let's say you walk in, I don't want to say Seasons or Gourmet Glad, I don't want to get in trouble. Let's say you walk into my restaurant and I say, we have a special today. We have par of cheese on chicken. You know those fake cheese, like soy cheese? And we're going to melt it onto the chicken, a chicken sandwich with melted soy cheese. It's going to be delicious. And again, $10 for this, you know, soy, you know, this cheese is a little more expensive. It's $10 for this soy cheese on top of chicken at my restaurant. So you come in, you pay your $10, you eat it. And as you're leaving, I look quickly at the package of what I sold and I say, uh-oh, that wasn't soy cheese, that was cheese. And you just violated an Isser Midah Rabbanan, because milk and chicken is only the Rabbanan, right? Chicken and but chicken and chalav is only the Rabbanan. So I feel so terrible. So I should give you the difference. I should pay you the difference, right? Of whatever the difference in price should be. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to pay a penny. By an Issa Drabbanan, you don't have to pay a penny. This you could look in source number one. The first line says that if you sold him something that's Issa Daraisa, then you have to pay the difference. Hava hamocha lechaveru davar isra achilasa is only divrei sofer, which I underlined. Once you ate it, I don't have to pay the difference in price. Why don't you have to pay the difference in price? How come when I was machshil you, we're not talking about the fact that I was machshil, that's a side point. We're just talking about the business, you know, the business aspect. How come when I sold you treif meat, nevela meat, assuming it was kosher meat, I have to give you back the difference between kosher and non-kosher meat? But when I sell you something that's asur derabanan, I don't have to give you the difference. The Nesivis here in Choshen Mishpat, this is in Hilchas Mekach Taos, not in Hilchas Tshuva, but in Hilchas Mekach Taos, the Nesivis stands up and says, I think I know the difference. The difference is that if you did something that's only Asur Derabbanan, you sold something that's Asur Derabbanan, let's talk about the eater. What did the eater do? The eater ate, if he ate meat, that was nevela, it was aser d'oraisa. If he ate meat, chicken with milk, it's only aser d'rabanan. If you eat something that's only aser d'rabanan, says the Nesivos, it must be that if you did it by mistake, it's not even considered that you did an avera. And therefore, from your perspective, from the eater's perspective, what did you eat? If it's only aser d'rabanan, and you did a peshogeg, then what you ate was, for you, normal food. For you, mutter. Why is it mutter? Let's think about the concept of an iser d'rabanan b'shogeg. Why can't you eat chicken and meat? Is there anything inherent about chicken and meat that's aser? Is there anything in the guf, in the cheft of the chicken and meat that's aser? I'll say it even differently. It's that the rabbis said, you, Mark Gold, don't do this action. They didn't say chicken and meat is aser. Basar b'chalav, it's not just that you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav, it's that basar b'chalav as a cheftza is something that's aser. By chicken and meat, the Torah never addressed it. I'm sorry, by chicken and milk, the Torah never addressed it directly, never said something about this cheftza called chicken and milk. The Torah just said, listen to the rabbis. Rabbi says, you Mark Gold, or you Yanki, you whoever you are, I don't want you to eat this. But you did it by mistake. So if you did it by mistake, so you didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with the chayfetz. It's only nisr on the gavr, not on the chayfetz. If it's only something that you shouldn't be doing and you didn't know that you shouldn't do it, so you didn't do anything wrong at all. And therefore, the Nesivos proves from this case that we just described, from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says that you don't have to pay any difference, you don't have to make up any money when you mistakenly sold somebody something that's aser d'rabanan, it must be that the eater, when he ate this food that's non-kosher d'rabanan, ate food that is considered mutter to him. Why? Because it's only aser d'rabanan, and he ate it by mistake. So it must be, if you eat something aser d'rabanan, by mistake, it's not aser. Therefore, the eater ate something that is absolutely mutter, from his perspective. Because it's only d'rabanan, and he did it by mistake. So if you ate something that's mutter, so I charge you for that which you ate. Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch says it's underlined. Okay, yeah, source number one, it's underlined. So I just gave, that's just not a great example that I gave, but it would be the same thing. I'll give you a case. Meat that has some kind of chelav hagid that's aser d'rabanan, without getting into details. The point is that you ate food that's aser d'rabanan, whatever the details would be. That would normally be cheaper, yeah.
So why don't you have to, it would be cheaper.
It would be cheaper, and yet you don't have to pay the difference, exactly. That's the question. Why not? Says the Nesivos, it must be, because since you ate an aser d'rabanan and you did it by mistake, you didn't eat anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. So from your perspective, it was mutter. No, because you ate mutter food. You were paying extra for what? To get kosher food. Guess what? Since it was aser d'rabanan and you didn't know it was aser, for you it was kosher food. So what you get, your nana was kosher food. You enjoyed it. You made a bracha rishon, you made a bracha achron, you said, this is a great, right? Rabbi Orlian makes good food in your restaurant. What? From a halachic perspective, it was mutter for you to eat. So you wanted this dish, I gave you the dish. You wanted it to be kosher. From a halach, if it's an iser d'rabanan, that you did b'shogeg, for you is kosher. Obviously, again, you can't set this up, because then it's not going to be d'rabanan. Then it's not going to be b'shogeg.
It's probably better, he should be paying.
Once you eat it, you pay for what you're nana. Once you eat it, you pay for what you're nana. Once you're nana, you ate nana for a kosher. You got a kosher meal. Why is it kosher? Isn't it aser d'rabanan? No, since you ate a peshogeg and it was only aser d'rabanan, it was kosher for you. That's what the Nesivos says. Yeah, Don. Beautiful. So says the Nesivos, or maybe he doesn't say it, but what would emanate from this Nesivos is that the concept of the pekam on your nefesh maybe doesn't exist by Yisurim d'Rabbanan. Maybe the pekam on your nefesh only exists by Yisurim d'Oraisa. Why? Because by Yisurim d'Oraisa, Hashem injected into Nevela something bad. If you have a food that's asa d'rabbanan, Hashem didn't inject anything into that food item. The rabbi said that you, Dr. Fox, shouldn't be eating it. Right? The gavra. They said something. You don't do an act of eating it. But they didn't say anything about, they didn't qualify the piece of meat to be a bad piece of meat, an asa piece of meat, a trefa piece of meat, a metantim, a saleh piece of meat. They just said, you, Dr. Fox, don't eat that piece of meat. That's the extent of it. Asa d'rabbanan. That's what the Nesiva seems to be saying. Depends how long after you found out.
But the point is, it's disgusting to you, and therefore you should get fully reimbursed.
Sorry. Doesn't work like that. Did you ever go to a restaurant, and it was really good, and the next morning you're clutching your stomach like this? You ever try going back to the restaurant to say, I want a refund? Doesn't work.
We're talking about a halakha concept, not a...
I'm just saying exactly what you just said. You want to throw up. What's the difference if you want to throw up because it gave you indigestion, or you want to throw up because you have religious compunctions? Okay. That's the Nesivus. The Nesivus holds that if you do an Issa D'Rabbanan, that was done b'shogeg, you didn't do anything wrong, and therefore, obviously, you do not need to do tshuva. If we would stop here, we have a fabulous kula. Yes, yes?
So, but by, let's say, if a woman takes a neder, husband is
mafra the
neder.
That's an issa
d'oraisa. But then, so she hasn't done anything wrong, then she violates her neder.
Yeah, Rashi. She still needs kapara.
But that's something where she did nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong, yeah.
And this is a case where...
It's a good question. Fabulous question. I actually didn't see that question raised in this discussion. You're asking a great question. I have to think about it. It's a great question. Okay. I would like to show a number of situations throughout the Shulchan Aruch in totally different areas, where it seems that this psak of the Nesivus, which again is a very bold psak, and I see many of you are troubled by, that you do an Issa D'Rabbanan and it's b'shogeg, it's just mutter, because again, the Rabbanan don't have the ability to change to redefine the action, or to redefine the chayfetz. They just tell you, you don't do this, you don't eat it. If you ate a b'shogeg, so you didn't do anything wrong. So I'll show you a few cases that Rabbi Avadia points out in a long tshuva about this topic. So if you look in source number 3, he talks about the following situation. You don't have to look in, only if you want to. Let's say it's a fast day, like today, and by mistake you ate a kazayas of food, right? This morning, you came home from shul, you sat down like you always do, you opened up the newspaper, or you opened up, it's not a sesame chili, you opened up your mesilas yisharim, your shai tshuva, and you took out your Danish like you have for breakfast, your morning cereal, and after you finished your bowl of cereal, your wife comes downstairs, she says, Shagans. Fine. And you say, do tshuva. Especially, you're learning Shai Tshuva while you're in practice. You have to, so now, what do? You have to do tshuva. It's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Eating on a fast day is, of course, an Issa D'Rabbanan, other than Yom Kippur. So do you have to do tshuva? So this is the question that the Tshuva Sadeshin asked. And first of all, he's talking about, do you have to make it up, and are you allowed to continue eating? So the Tshuva Sadeshin says, no, even if you had that breakfast that you shouldn't have had, that bowl of Rice Krispies, you should continue fasting on a regular fast day like today. You should continue fasting. Don't eat anything else. What about doing tshuva? He says, you can't do tshuva. What are you going to do? You're going to fast a different day? You can't make up some gedalia on, Chav Beis Elul. Chav Beis Shvat. It doesn't work. Chav Beis Cheshvan. It doesn't work to make up some gedalia, which is Gimel. You can't. It doesn't make sense to make it up.
Well, we move.
Tanis Esther, you can move. One day forward, one day back, 2 days, but you can't take Tzom Gedalia and all of a sudden, 3 weeks before Hanukkah, fast because you messed up on Tzom Gedalia. That's what he says. V'iyashar, look what I underlined towards the bottom of page 1. V'iyashar esak and esashar ives. You're not going to be able to fix that which you messed up unless, imlo, shekavanos lehis anos lekapara alavanoso. Unless you want to, I'm not going to redo Tzom Gedalia in the middle of Cheshvan, but maybe I could fast another day as a kapara for doing an avera. What did he just say? What did the Tshuva Sadeshin just say? That there's an avera. He says, you ate on a fast day, you might want to, you don't have to, you don't, there's no point in making, you're not going to make up the day of Tzom Gedalia, but if you want to fast to make up for your avera, that would be appropriate. See, you see clearly, he's assuming that there's an avera. What do you mean? But I thought it was you only ate on a fast day, which is Drabbanan, and you did it by mistake. What's the Avera? Ooh, so I see from here that maybe there is an Avera.
More culpability in this case. I mean, what
what happens if you are forgetting the time that you have no idea?
Good, that's a good point. The other somebody took advantage of you. Here is your own mistake. Good. Okay, well, I'm going to show you three other cases. Here it's a really strong case. Let's say there's a fire. God forbid, there's a fire on Shabbos. There's a section in the Shulchan Aruch that talks about what to do if there's a fire on Shabbos, what you're allowed to save, how you're allowed to save it, and then the Rama speaks about what happens if there's somebody Chas v'Shalom could get killed, could die from a fire. So then, you're allowed to put it out. It happens to be, and in my role as a rabbi of a shul, it is my responsibility to say that if there would be a fire nowadays in our neighborhood, it is mutar lechatchila to call the fire department on Shabbos. And if the fire department is not coming fast enough and you could put it out, you should put it out. Why is that? That's what the Rama paskens here on the top of page 2, that all these halachas about maybe you should put out, not put it out, that's all in the olden days. Aval bizman has that top of page 2, when we live among many the nations of the world, and we live in more metropolitan areas, more urban areas where houses are closer together and things could catch, and there's definitely pikuach nefesh involved, and therefore, if God forbid there's a fire on Shabbos, you put the fire out. That's the halach and the Rama, and that's every rabbi's responsibility to teach his congregants that. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, and says, but all we're allowing is to put out a fire, because putting out a fire is anyway only midi Rabbanan. You're just putting out a fire. You're not doing something productive. You're just doing something that removes the fire and prevents the fire from damaging you. So it's only Malach Shem and Tzvich Gufa, so it's only us Rabbanan. You should put out a fire if, God forbid, a fire would fall in your house on Shabbos. Chas v'Shalom. Chas v'Shalom. Exactly. So therefore, this extinguishing fire is only going to be a Malach Shein and Tzrich LeGufa. It's only Avsan D'Rabbanan. And therefore, go put out this fire. We'll allow you to put out the fire because of the potential risk.
The problem is the goy, you set
the fire. Okay. What happens if you... But you're not allowed to put out the fire if you just want to save money. If the concern is there are potential pikuach nefesh, put out the fire. But if you just want to save money... Again, given the situation, you live, it's far away from anyone else, no one else is going to be endangered, all the kids, there's nobody in the building and near the building. It's only a question of money, so you're not allowed to put out the fire, right? But if you did, what would you be violating in Isra Midah? Rabbanon, like Dr. Bernstein just said. So, says the Rama, Vim Avar V'chilel, if you went ahead, Vim Avar V'chilel, in the underlined line, second underlined line of page 2, Tzarech Lehis'anos Arba Im Yom, you should fast for 40 days. Not straight, but every Monday and Thursday you should fast. And give some stuck instead of being a karban chatas. Now, did you hear the last words I said? And give some stuck instead of being the karban chatas. When do you bring karban chatas? Right, when you did it by mistake. So it sounds like even if you did it by mistake, you still should fast. Right. It seems from this Rama that you're doing something by mistake, you put it out without realizing that you can't, or whatever the situation is, and still the Rama says, and it's only Nisad Rabbanan, because putting out a fire, it's Malach Shein Tzvich LeGufa, and yet the Rama says, you should do tshuva on this. Pretty clear, possibly, that by an Nisad Rabbanan that you did by mistake, you should do tshuva. Another proof against the Nesivus that we opened with. Let's look at another case. Another case is very explicit. Source number 5, somebody drank stam yayin, right? You buy yayin that's not mevushel, and you have somebody is pouring it, and you go to a restaurant, and you bought wine that was mevushel, and the non-Jewish waiter poured it for you, so you drank non-mevushel wine. You thought, poured by a Gentile, let's say, but you thought it was mevushel. You ordered, you said, I want Bar Tanura, he thought it was, I don't know, some real Italian wine. And he poured it. You thought it was mevushel. It wasn't mevushel, so you just drank this wine afterwards. He left the bottle on the table. You see, it's not mevushel. So you violated the Nisad Rabbanan. Says the Shulchan Aruch, in the Rama, says the Rama, if you drank stam yenam, so you should, look what he says, you should fast for 5 days. Why? Because five times that it says the word gefen in the Chumash. And you'll get kapara thereby. Sounds like you need kapara, even though you did an issa drabanan b'shogeg. Wow.
These things are like, because you wouldn't have gotten in this situation unless something was wrong with your life kind of thing, and then giving some way for you to like, it doesn't, it's not a...
I think you're trying to say something. Could you say it more clearly?
These seem like, home remedies in the sense that, why this happened to you? It happened to you, something's wrong.
Okay, so Mr. Gold is saying, if I could put words in his mouth, please, with your permission, of course, is what Rav Avadia is going to say to get out of a number of these proofs. And that is, Rav Avadia is going to suggest, if you notice there's a theme, which Mr. Gold noticed, the theme is that you're trying to get kapara, right? But that's really what we want to find out. Do you have to do tshuva? So we have to find out. So maybe this is telling, these examples of fast for 40 days, fast for 5 days, maybe, suggests Rav Avadia, this is for somebody who, not that you have to do tshuva, but if you want to, not that you have to, not that it requires tshuva like any other ave requires tshuva, but you want to, you feel like you did something wrong. You want to just come closer to Hashem. So what should I do, Rabbi? So the Rama says, okay, I have a quick, an easy fix. Just fast for the next 40 days.
We might say that's not the restaurant
case. Per day,
this does not apply to the restaurant case. The restaurant case was a real financial, right. Correct. So any of these cases that just talk about fast for these many days, do this as tshuva, okay, that you're saying that maybe it's because you want to do tshuva, but not because you have to. That could be. Fine. Another case. There's a discussion. The Gemara Pesachim, those of you who learned Pesachim recently, right? Wait, the daf just... No, you didn't get up to Pesachim. But okay, so I'm sure many of you have learned Arvei Pesachim. There it talks about eating before Havdalah. Eating before Havdalah is also Midrabanan, of course. Midrabanan, of course. It's also to eat before Havdalah. And Tosus and Shabbos says, I have a question. We have a rule that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't let Tzadikim do averus, and doesn't even let the. Not only does Hashem not let tzadikim do averus, Hashem doesn't even allow the animals of tzadikim to do averus. Ask Tosfos, how come we have a story of Rav Yirmiya who ate something before Havdalah? So I don't really care what the answer to that question is, but what do you see from Tosfos's question? Tosfos's question assumes that eating before Havdalah, where it was by mistake, by the way, that case was by mistake, you see that doing an Issa D'Rabbanan by mistake is considered having done something wrong. So we have yet another proof. Yeah, what's your...
Much more common case about Mishal on Shabbos. You see all these rules. If somebody cooks on Shabbos, even the shogeg, don't you say you can't eat the food on Shabbos?
That might be for a different reason. That might be because we don't need to be nehaneh from it, not because you did something wrong, but because we don't want you to allow you to be nana from it because people might play games. So there might be more of a knas component there. But that's a good point. So we just went through a number of sources that seem to be all against this nesivus. Again, the nesivus says you do an issa d'rabbanan, that's b'shogeg, you didn't do anything wrong. Comes the Or Sameach, and he says, Mr. Nesivus, Rabbi Nesivus, do you realize what you're saying? If you hold that somebody who violates an Issa D'Rabbanan by mistake, didn't do anything wrong, didn't eat non-kosher, do you know what that means from my perspective? What am I allowed to serve you? I could give you an Issa D'Rabbanan and say it's kosher? According to the Nesivus, what would come out? Are you allowed to eat it? Yeah, according to the Nesivus, we just said that if you ate something that is a Drabbanan and you did it for Shogeg, that was kosher food for you. Says the Rizmeh, but that would mean that I'm allowed to give you, pull the wool over your eyes and hand you non-kosher food. And that wouldn't even be Lifnei Iver, because what's Lifnei Iver? I can't make you do an Isser. But if you were Shogeg about it, and it's only an Issa Drabbanan at worst, then you didn't do an Isser. Says Arzimach, that's absurd. How can you say that? How can the receiver say such a thing?
It's not an
No, the Nesiva says it's not an issur to do it. If I'm putting you in a situation, Dr. Bernstein, I knock on your door, right? I knock on your door with a nice Rosh Hashanah, you know, honey cake. And I say, Dr. Bernstein, you're such a great neighbor. Here's a honey cake. And I put all kinds of Yisurim Durabanan in it. Because really, deep down, I hate those Bernsteins. They're terrible neighbors. And with that big smile on my face, you say, thank you so much, Rabbi Orlean, it looks delicious, and you and your wife eat it and enjoy it. So, according to the Nesivos, I didn't do anything wrong. Because you're allowed to eat it. Why are you allowed to eat it? Because it's only us to do Rabbanon, and the only thing about it is to do Rabbanon is that you have to listen to the rabbis. You assumed it's kosher.
You're over
Lifnei Iver. It says, or Samech, I shouldn't be over Lifnei Iver, because he was allowed to eat it, so I didn't make you do anything wrong. Lifnei Iver says, if I make you do something wrong, I didn't make you do anything. That's our Samech's question. The Nesiva says, something that's aser derabanan, that you do b'shogeg, is not considered aser. And you don't have to do tshuva on it. What's the difference? That's the Oris HaMeach's question. What is he? Yes, it's Gnevas Das. It's not nice of me. But that's all. It's not Lifnei Iver. Gnevas Das is much, 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 much lower on the totem pole than an Issur D'oraisa Lifnei Iver. So you're getting into a great question. Are you allowed to feed a child an Issur D'Rabbanan?
No, not your own child.
But you don't stop them from doing it.
This is a long, long sugya, which is too complicated for me. It's Machlokes Rishonim, I believe. Are you allowed to be Machil B'Yadayim? Are you allowed to be Machil K'tanim Yisurim D'Rabbanan? I don't remember how we paska, but it's certainly a complicated shayla. What? Okay. There's two more pages. Take it home and enjoy.